sip. Let's tune into Brad and Britt.
It's the Brad and Britt cast. Our second one of the week, Tuesday, for those of you with a calendar. I don't know if that.
Flip it.
Here we go. We're live in the 1:30 Eastern hour, and boy, is my list packed.
Oh, man, you got a packed list. We need to get to it then.
Britt, right at the top, right at the top. Wally World is crying today. Hitler's Hungry franchise is thriving. Samantha Be Gone. First thing I'd do if I win the Mega Millions is buy you a pizza.
Oh, that's the best.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Alex Jones, I got your crisis actor shtick right here. Matt Gaetz goes full Little Rush. And the Pelosi files.
Do the Matt Gaetz one, because he's just such an incredible asshole. We always think that Ted Cruz has had lapped the field when it comes to biggest asshole in the universe, and then somebody else tries to make an entry.
All right, if you can, as I start this, can you pick up your little hotline there?
Yeah, let me see if I can get it.
Get Little Rush ready to ready to join us. Here you go. Matt Gaetz doubling down on comments that he made last week, where he stated, why is it that the women with the least likelihood of getting pregnant are the ones most worried about having abortions? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to impregnate you if you look like a thumb. His comments were kind of an inverse and shittier version of the old George Carlin line, which is, why is it that most of the people who are against abortion are people you wouldn't want to fuck in the first place?
Correct, yeah.
See, that's why you leave comedy to the professionals, like the late George Carlin. When asked about his comments on Monday, Gaetz refused to back down and stated he's glad the constitutional right to abortion was struck down. The reporter asked Gaetz, well, you're suggesting that these women at these abortion rallies are ugly and overweight? Yes. What do you say to people who think those comments are offensive? Be offended, was his answer. I'm very pro-life, says Matt Gaetz. I make no apology about it. I'm grateful that Roe has been overturned and that Dobbs is now the jurisprudence on abortion. And I find those people who got out and in these pro-abortion, pro-murder rallies odious and just like ugly on the inside and out. And I make no apologies for it. Now, if I'm correct, Britt, Little Rush, if you can summon him up, made not identical comments, but very similar comments about liberal women, and that morphed into the word that he coined, which still lives on, feminazis. That was his word, was it not? You got a little Rush there, Rush. Are you listening in to us?
Yes. Yip yip yahoo! Greetings and salutations all across hell. Tis I, Little Rush, on the Little Brad and Britt Network. It is fantastic to be with you for another day of broadcast excellence as I am being sodomized by dragons in hell. Yes. Matt Gaetz, delightfully, and he's ripping off my material, but it's okay, because he's one of us, and by one of us, I mean pedophile. many years ago, I talked about how I would not fuck a liberal woman with my dick, with Snurdly's dick, and Ted Kennedy pushing, and it is truer today than ever. These women, my God, they couldn't get impregnated with a fistful of 50s at a Chippendale show, and yet they're worried about someone impregnating them either against their will or it's just pathetic, folks.
Hang on, Little Rush. I came prepared.
Yes.
I came armed to this discussion because I was looking for famous women who I think you'll agree, and you can rate them if you want to play rate a woman who's had an abortion. You want to play that game?
Well, sure, of course. Let's go ahead and do that. Rate a woman who's had an abortion, folks.
Exactly. Here you go. Ready? Rita Moreno.
Rita Moreno, let's be honest, she's been back in her heyday, folks. If you wanted to, you know, get with a Hispanic chick, you could have done a lot worse than that. And obviously, since she got an abortion, she's easy. Absolutely. I'm going to give her, in her heyday, solid 7.2. I'm Dave Portnoy. This is the One Bite Challenge.
Okay. All right. Let's keep going down the list here. Well, of course, there's Gloria Steinem. Gloria Steinem.
Yeah. Well, did you see her in the bunny costume, though, folks?
Yes. She's still got it going on. Was she like 88 or something? Not bad.
Hubba, back in the day, I'd give her a solid 7.5. I'd put her ahead of Rita. Well, because she's white.
Little Rush, did any of your wives make you watch Dancing with the Stars?
Yes, the last one. What was the last one? What I left all the money to? Yeah, I can't remember.
Cheryl Burke, I can't remember. The dancer.
Oh, Cheryl Burke's hot. Fantastic body. 7'7". Absolutely,
abortion.
A 7'7", all the way.
Uma Thurman.
Oh, 9. Solid 9. Oh, my God, the breasts on that one. Oh.
Busy Phillips. You like her?
Oh, 5'2". I'm going to say it's a 5'2".
Strong.
Cecily Strong's a 6'3". Solid 6'3", folks.
Amber Tamblyn,
the daughter of Russ Tamblyn from West Side Story, folks.
And Rita Moreno.
And there you are. Amber Tamblyn is, I say 6'3".
Stevie Nicks.
In her heyday, fantastic. 8'9".
Lil' Kim? Yeah.
Oh, 7'4". I'm going to say 7'4", again, in her heyday.
Susan Sarandon.
Again, in her heyday, was fantastic. Lovely breasts. 8'8".
Rosanna Arquette.
Oh, hot as balls. We're going to go 9'1" on Rosanna Arquette from the early 80s.
Vanessa Williams, Miss America.
9'7". Come on. 9'7" and hot for 40 years? I mean, come on.
All right, you want full Hall of Fame credentials? Ready? Catherine Deneuve.
That's a huge – I'm going to say 9'4" on a Catherine Deneuve. And the great thing about these women is, you know, they're easy because they got abortions. That's the beauty of it, is you'll be able to get in there. Do they still have wine coolers? Do Bartles and James still make wine coolers?
I think they've been replaced by hard seltzer, Little Rush.
You get them. What you do is you take one of these ladies and you get them about half of a Truly or a White Claw, one of those.
Right, run through these.
Good.
All right, no, I'll just let's go lightning round here. Minka Kelly.
Minka Kelly, I'll say 7'3".
Alyssa Milano.
Oh, in her heyday. And Matt Gaetz would have loved her because that's Pedophile City. 8'9".
All right, over to the Brady household, Maureen McCormick.
Again, in her heyday, she's a solid 8.
Here's another Hall of Famer, Allie McGraw.
Allie McGraw, again, one of the most beautiful women in the world in the early 70s. I'm going to say 8'7".
Okay. now, enjoy this one. Sinead O'Connor.
Negative. I'm kidding. It's 3'6". Well, just be kind.
Suzanne Summers.
Oh, it's a 9'6". Yeah. 9'6" all day.
Joan Collins.
Joan Collins, again, back in her day, I'd say a solid 8'3". Yeah. 8'3".
And since we were going in alphabetical order at some level, we get to Z and we get the lady who's on Good Morning America doing the weather, Ginger Z. You know who she is?
Oh, Ginger Z's hot. 9'2". Solid 9'2". Former. She's out of Chicago. They have some of the hottest weather people in the history of television, folks.
All right. So, Matt Gaetz.
Yes.
Made a broad sweeping comment.
Yes.
That people who are pro-choice and for freedom and for women to be able to control their own bodies, that he generalized and said these are just ugly women, so who would want to, you know, them anyway?
Right.
Now, the evidence is out there on the table, Little Rush. Well, not all women of that ilk are ugly. Well, you would just say that and put. I know you're a big Matt Gaetz fan, but can you please just put this one to bed?
And plus, there many of these women are four times the age that Matt Gaetz likes them. So I'm not sure if we should follow this guy down to Pound Town, so to speak. All right. He's going to get plenty of chances at Pound Town and his pretty face when he goes to jail for pedophilia. You know what they do to pedophiles in prison, folks.
Yeah, yeah. All right, can we keep you here for a couple more minutes? I got a few other things to swing by you. As we do the Brad and Britcast on Tuesday, we're within an hour or so of Donald Trump's return to Washington for the first time since he triumphantly left on January 20th. After the election was, of course, stolen from him by the brilliant tactician Joe Biden, the guy who can't do anything right, apparently, except coordinate the most remarkable theft of an election in the history of the world. Your thoughts on Donald Trump making possibly another run and returning to Washington today and continuing to just attack. And do you have any memories of his late wife, Ivana?
I do have some memories of Ivana. I'm glad you asked, folks. I never had sex with her, but boy, did Ivana. That's an old John Lovitz joke. That's a John Lovitz said that one time on Saturday Night Live.
Never gets old.
Boy, did Ivana. Ivana was a lovely woman. Fantastic woman, and after she got married, you have to really be impressed that she knew how to shut the fuck up, and that's what I was really impressed with her, and I'm glad she did all those years, and now forevermore she will be shutting the fuck up. Donaldus Magnus headed to, I don't know if you heard the news, he's heading to the Pentagon. They've made an exception. They're going to bury him at Arlington when he dies because he's done such a great thing. Doesn't need to be a soldier. Doesn't need to be in the military. He's done such great things for this country. The military said, here's a plot of land for your rich ass when you go tits up. Yes, he is going to be running again. He will be winning. And the libs are losing their minds, folks. I mean, they are just going insane.
Well, little Rush, you're a brilliant tactician, maybe the best that's ever lived. A lot of people think that. A lot of people think that you are solely responsible, or at least one of the main architects of the ascension of the Republican Party in the post Ronald Reagan era. You picked up the ball when Bush became president, and George H.W. Bush, and you never stopped. And so, with that in mind, what do you think of the current strategy of Democrats, the party, around the country, throwing massive support to the furthest to the right Trumpiest candidate in primaries under the assumption that that candidate will be so odious in the general election that the Democrat will win? In other words, they're picking or helping to pick what they think is the weakest candidate for the general election in primaries. Some people think that's a brilliant strategy. Others are mortified by it. I've seen both sides of it. What's your take? Because it's very Machiavellian. It's very Roger Stoney, as far as I can see. What do you think?
Snurdly, can I take you back to 2008 in the summer of 2008? A little thing that I came up with known as Operation Chaos. Does anybody remember this? Anybody remember this at all? I invented Operation Chaos.
I remember the name. I can't remember what it was about, what it entailed.
This is where I, when they had open primaries, folks, I would tell our voters, don't go vote in the Republican primary. Try to fuck up that Hillary versus Obama thing. That's what you should do. And that's all this is basically these people ripping off my Operation Chaos 14 years later, well after I'm dead, folks.
Can I ask a question?
What
were the instructions then? Because if it was to nominate the black guy who could never be elected in a general election because America, at least from your point of view, was still wonderfully too racist to ever elect Obama, then the strategy backfired because because McCain might have been able to beat Hillary, I guess, but Obama just kicked John McCain's ass.
Well,
so how did that work out? So I guess what you're saying is the Democrats, be careful what you wish for. It might come back at you.
That's exactly right. They're about to kick their own asses, and they don't even know it. I mean, look at what we've got going. We have such a tremendous candidate in Herschel Walker. Folks, there's never been a more qualified candidate for the United States Senate.
Doubt you're right.
Yeah. Dr. Mehmet Oz in the great Commonwealth of PA, folks. Fetterman looks like he's going to have a heart attack with his next step. I don't know if they go ahead and put, they put the Plavix in with his steak and cheese or what they do, but he looks like a gargoyle crossed with a zombie, and he's going to go dead in about 5 seconds. As soon as we get a map and show Dr. Oz how to get from Pennsylvania to Pennsylvania from New Jersey, this race is over. J.D. Vance in Ohio, tremendous candidate, just destroying the competition. I mean, you are seeing some great candidates out there on the Republican side, folks, that are wondering.
Excuse me, Little Rush. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know why.
Don't call me that asshole. How dare you misname me?
Sorry. For what I've been reading the last few days, the Republican Party is very, very upset with both Dr. Oz and J.D. Vance, Ohio and Pennsylvania, essentially saying they're not campaigning very hard. They're lazy. They're not out there. They're taking it for granted. Now, what do you think of that?
These are lamestream media stories, drive-by media stories. I haven't been able to use that one and run it in the ground since I died. That's another drive-by story. It makes it shows how scared they are. By the way, have you seen the babe that we're running in Arizona for governor? Have you seen that girl?
Well, she hasn't won the primary yet.
Nonetheless, she's going to. Speaking of people you'd like to pay for an abortion for, hubba hubba right there. And Donald Trump went out there, Donaldus Magnus, went out and gave a great speech. And then Mike Pence was supporting a piece of cardboard. I don't even know what was going on out there. But that Carrie Lake, my God, that's some fantastic stuff right there, folks.
Okay. Anything else crossing your mind right here before we turn it back to Brad and Britt?
Shout out to my main man, Vince McMahon. Stay strong. We'll see you down here in a couple of years.
Okay. All right. Little Rush. Special appearance today on the Brad and Britt cast. And
wow.
Of course, his Facebook page is as active as ever.
Always.
And you can text him, call him. He's sitting there just taking calls.
Just
taking calls.
Having lunch with Roger Ailes in hell.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. We'll do a quick mention here of Tony Dow, Wally Cleaver on Leave It to Beaver. And he had a pretty good run after that show was over, too. He did a lot of things. He did a lot of guest stuff. Did some directing, the usual kind of thing. 77. So the only person left from that show, Leave It to Beaver, is Jerry Mathers as the Beaver. I think just about everybody else is gone. Eddie Haskell. I don't think Eddie Haskell is still with us, right? The guy that he became a cop.
He did. Yeah, he was actually a patrol cop, I think, in Southern California.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if Little Rush was a fan of that show. I bet he was. But, Barbara Billingsley, she had it going on.
They tried to
1950s mom her, but you couldn't hide it. You could not hide that, right?
Oh, no, she, I mean, that was like she had the mom next to, I mean, like the MILF category, you think Pornhub just came out with that? No, that was there. That was all those years ago.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
Yeah. Donna Reed was fantastic. You know, the girl next door kind of situation. Holy cow.
Yeah. All right. Tony Dow. All right. Hitler's Hungry franchise is thriving.
Mm-hmm.
This one's worth a run because it's one of those that really doesn't, it's not a breaking news kind of thing, but it's there. It's always there because the Fox News gang, Tucker Carlson in particular, is leading his group of morons who think he's a truth teller down the primrose path in trying to position the country of Hungary as a great model for what the United States could be if it became an authoritarian semi-democratic dictatorship. Viktor Orban is the guy who's the president there, and they've actually now held a CPAC conference in Hungary. I mean, they're all in on it, right?
Yeah, they flew over there and had a conference over there.
You know, have you ever been invited to a destination wedding? I haven't.
No, me either. No,
not where like okay, everybody, we're going to Cancun,
right,
for Bahamas. Our wedding. Yeah. You're invited to spend, you know, God knows what on.
Thanks. You just handed me a bill for $3,000. Thank you. Right. I really appreciate it.
So like it was like a destination CPAC conference, right?
Jesus, yeah.
It's the same shit you would get if you had it in your city, but instead you get the pleasure of overpaying to see it over there.
Well, look, all I right. mean, you can say what you want to about Joe Biden, but the American dollar is remaining very strong against international currency. So your spending power in Hungary has got to be great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's certainly worth it to completely destroy the world economy. That's
sure.
worth it. No. All right. Viktor Orban, the prime minister of Hungary, is taking shit, and rightfully so. He was in Romania on Saturday, and he says that countries where Europeans mix with non-Europeans, quote, here's the direct quote, they are no longer nations. They are nothing more than a conglomeration of peoples. In the Carpathian Basin, we are not mixed race, referring to his own country. And he's referring to parts of Romania, Croatia, Slovakia, Serbia, Ukraine, and other neighbors. We're willing to mix with one another, but we don't want to become mixed race, predicting a decade of uncertainty and fear and the decline of the West. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
That's pretty Hitlerian. Why don't you start with the old race mixing and who's better and who's worse, just based on racial characteristics. The largest Jewish organization in Hungary is demanding a meeting with Orban. The Central European Division of the American Jewish Committee warned of the danger of stigmatizing and prioritizing ethnicities. Many consider Orban, who is accused of eroding media freedoms and judicial independence. He's accused of it because he's done that. Excuse me. Enabling corruption and nepotism because he's done that. And attacking LGBTQ people in Hungary, accused of that because he's done that. He is considered to be the face of the new wave of authoritarianism and a pioneer in the new approach to anti-democratic rule. It's an all-new approach to the same old shit, according to the Associated Press. And he has become a hero to segments of the Republican Party. He is to rub elbows with former President Trump, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and other conservative figures next month at another CPAC conference, this time in, take a guess. It's not in Hungary. What's the next best thing to Hungary? How about Texas? Texas, that'll work for you.
Sure.
It'll be in Dallas. That's at the next one. And he is scheduled to speak there. Just think about the idea that the main confab for conservatives, which they hold several times a year now, that used to be a once a year thing, wasn't it, Britt?
Yep.
Remember that was once? Yep. Now, apparently, it's every 6 weeks because it's that good.
The ideas are coming so strong and so fast.
But think of it. They have to have a foreign leader speak at what I would think to be a domestic political.
You would think.
That's creepy. That's creepy shit.
Well, no, it's not only. I mean, it's very dangerous and all. I mean, like when Tucker Carlson took his fucking show over there, you're like, really? And nobody at Fox goes, I don't think we should do that.
Hey, liberal. What about when Conan O'Brien went to Cuba? What about that?
Same thing.
The head of CPAC, that asshole, Matt Schlapp. Okay. Said what we like about him is that he's actually standing up for the freedom of his people right. against the tyranny of the European Union. Let me just expand on that. Hungary is not on board with defending Ukraine at all against the Russians. The Hungarian, the Orban view of what's going on there is just fucking give Putin what he wants. and right. let's have a little bit of peace, and right. let's get that natural gas flowing again. Come on. That's the Orbán view. And by association, that would be really the Republican view, unless you're willing to directly answer the question when you're asked, which they would never be, which is, do you agree with Orbán when he says, well, and of course, they wouldn't hear the question. They don't know who Orbán is.
Is that the vacuum cleaner, Orbán? I don't know what that is. I'm not sure. No, yeah. But no, Tucker Carlson would say that exact same thing. He doesn't do it as much now, but in the opening stanzas of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, he would be like, I don't give a shit. Let Putin have what he wants to have. This doesn't have anything to do with me. Tucker would say that.
You're right. And by the way, nothing has changed.
Yeah. I think they told him not to say it like every night. Like maybe just once every 6 weeks say that. I think maybe the folks at Fox have chimed in. I know you feel that way. We all know you feel that way. But yeah, maybe not every night.
All right. Let's see here. First thing I do when I win the lottery is buy you a pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Alex Jones, I got your crisis actor shtick right here.
Okay.
And the Pelosi files.
Let me do, let's do the Mega Millions, because everybody likes to dream, right? A Mega Millions, a jackpot is what? Is it up to 800 yet?
810.
810, okay.
810. Here's the spin on this one. We have a guy who owns a fast food joint called Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers.
Yeah, that's a great franchise.
They got about 50,000 people working for them, so I guess it's pretty big. Where is that at? Is that in Baltimore? This is WBAL.
He owns the franchise for that area. It's a national franchise, maybe out of Texas. I know that it's not around here, but people who, I mean, I've seen TikToks and I've seen reels and stuff. People who love this shit, they swear by it. I mean, it is like beyond Chick-fil-A, beyond Popeyes, the faithfulness that they're pledging to this brand.
Yeah, I think famous chicken manager Gus Fring used to work at one of those. He did. He got his start there. Anyway, the guy who owns the whole company says he's going to buy the equivalent of one ticket for each of his 50,000 employees. So that's $2. So that's $100,000 he's going to spend.
Wow.
So, of course, if you have 50,000 tickets, you know, do the division on instead of 1 in 300 million, you know, your odds are still not that great, but okay. He says if one of the tickets is the winner, everybody gets to share the prize, which at this point would be anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000 after taxes and everything else. You know, that's such a great nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, 'cause it's really nothing, but yeah. In terms of generating publicity for your restaurant, it's probably money well spent, don't you think? We're talking about it. Well, I want to taste the chicken. I want the chicken.
It beats, you know, paying them a living wage. I'm just kidding. Yeah,
well, but here's the problem. If you took that money and said, all right, use it to pay a living wage. All right, everybody gets $2. So it doesn't quite work that way, but.
Apparently this was the Raising Cane's was founded in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 1996. Revenue of $1.5 billion in 2020, Brad. Not a joke.
Now, isn't Popeyes out of Louisiana also?
I think Popeyes is. Yeah, I believe Popeyes is headquartered out of there.
Whoever owns them now, they're owned by somebody else. But
they're one of the big conglomerates, yeah.
Yeah. All right, yeah, the odds you have right now, all of us, when you buy one ticket, it's 1 in 302.5 million.
Oh, God.
And that's to win the big jackpot. To win just $1 million, it's just 1 in 12 million. Not bad.
I ended up winning $4 on the last one, so I ended up paying for my ticket, for my tickets for tonight, basically.
All right, we promised on the previous Brad and Britcast, we would talk about Vince McMahon and WWE.
Yes.
The end of his reign there. He's 77 years old. And apparently, by the way, my bottom line on this is Harvey Weinstein. It's an equation, you math majors. Harvey Weinstein plus muscles equals Vince McMahon. Because it sounds like Vince McMahon has been paying off women to shut the fuck up for decades. For decades.
Fair. Yeah, there seems to be a trail. For those of you that would like for us to get into more excruciating detail about that, we'll do that in my other podcast, which is called Katie Vick is Alive Alive with Bryant Williams. We'll get into excruciating detail. But, the story broke yesterday that the reason that Vince decided to, quote unquote, retire was because the SEC was kind of looking into some malfeasance. So you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit in the wind, and you don't fuck with the SEC, right? You can do a lot of shit, but I don't care who you are if you start fucking with the SEC.
It's funny you would bring that up. Last night, Jane and I watched the original Behind the Music, Jim Croce.
Yes. Tremendous performer. Damn. I believe his son is doing a show in this area soon where he sings some of Jim's songs.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen the kid was 2.
Yeah.
When the plane crashed in 1972, so do the math. He's like 52 now.
Yeah,
and he just started singing Jim Croce songs.
He stayed
away on purpose for a long time, and I sent him a text, and he changed his mind.
But no, Jim Croce, the exact opposite of Vince McMahon, a very nice guy who apparently never raped anybody. Vince McMahon, an asshole billionaire. There's going to be a lot of stuff that comes out, I think, and there was an allegation at least of 30 years ago of him raping someone. Right now, he has – I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy, the guy who represents Vince McMahon, who's been his lawyer. His name is Jerry McDivitt, and he is the very epitome of an asshole lawyer who you want on your side when you're in trouble. When Vince was going to go down to the steroid trial back 31 years ago, it was McDivitt that got his ass off the line that made him not guilty. But I don't think McDivitt's going to be able to save him this time. Once you start the allegation, which sounds incredibly crazy to me, and I don't know if this happened or not, is that when he would pay the women off, he would then try to get reimbursed or get reimbursed from the company.
Of course. Absolutely. Does that sound – that is the most Trumpian thing I've ever heard. That is the most Trumpian thing of all time. Okay.
It's very odd, but when you're a publicly held company, you can't fucking do that. I don't know if you guys know a lot about corporate America, but you can't do that. So I think there's going to be some more allegations that come out against him, and I think the Harvey Weinstein thing is going to hold out to be exceptionally true as you go forward. And my other bold prediction, my hot take, and we can move on, he'll be dead in 5 years, maybe 3. Because without this in his life, he doesn't care about anything else. He doesn't care about taking his boat down to the Gulf and fishing. He doesn't care about traveling to the Parthenon. This was him and who he was. And now that it's out of his life, I think he'll have a pretty rapid decline.
Does that mean by transference that we really need to reelect Donald Trump to save his life? Because he obviously has nothing going on either.
There's a lot... There's a lot of similarities between Donald John Trump Sr. and Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
When was Donald Trump put into the WWE Hall of Fame?
About
20 years ago?
Yeah, 15 years ago or something like that. He will tell you the biggest pay-per-view they ever had, well, at that time, was when Donald Trump was in the main event with Vince McMahon, and Vince had to get his head shaved. They're very, very similar human beings.
All right. Well, of course, we wish him all the best.
Oh, no. I mean, he's being canceled, so.
Just like Samantha Bee has been canceled. Her show was on TBS for 7 years, and they said, that's enough. We're done. We're out. Bring back the same name that I mentioned before. You know, they decided they were done with Conan O'Brien a couple years ago also. So I think this is a lock. Don't even think about betting against it. Samantha Bee will have a podcast in 3, 2...
It'll be great. Or, you know, Apple TV or Netflix or somebody will sign her up to do something. I mean,
Oberman's got a podcast. Podcast too.
And he signed up with that liberal bunch over at iHeartRadio. Yeah. What the fuck, Keith? Yeah. Jesus. Get out of my face with that shit. No. I think Samantha Bee in the history of that show, when she was on The Daily Show, and then, of course, she did her own thing and she left many years ago.
But as far as that remote stuff that they used to do, which they were very good at, and kind of they kind of reinvented the whole idea of that on The Daily Show, she was as good as anybody who ever did that, I think.
She was good.
She was good. Fantastic. I mean, if you talk about that.
I'll tell you what, you do a TV show for 7 years.
Sure.
That puts you in, it's rarefied air under any circumstance. So it's not a.
She's great.
Yeah. She'll be fine. We're rooting for her. All right. Hey, Alex Jones, I got your crisis actor shtick right here. The jury has been chosen and testimony begins today being Tuesday as we speak, in the civil trial against Alex Jones, former winner of the First Amendment Award at the Talkers Magazine convention.
That's right.
In, I think it was like, 2011 or something like that. Fuck. God damn. I'm never going to get over that one. I'm never going to get over that.
You were there in person to see his idiotic acceptance speech?
Oh, yes, Jesus. I was. Okay. To explain it to you, Talkers Magazine is kind of the glue that's still left that people who are in talk radio read. You know, it's where are the jobs? What's the latest gossip? Who's moved to what station? Here's a couple columns about which fucking topics to keep doing over and over again. How to take phone calls. Should you do phone calls right at the beginning of your show? Do you need to get right to it, or can you? All that. All right.
Do you think this internet and this satellite radio thing is a threat to radio? Or
right. Talk radio stronger than ever. Okay. And it got to the point they have conventions every year, of course, like you have to have, and they would give out the First Amendment Award to the one person who, in the past year, has shown the greatest courage in standing up for freedom of expression, blah, blah, blah. And one of the years that I was there, I fucking give it to Alex Jones.
Right.
Okay. And believe me, by 2011, Alex Jones was already known for being the piece of shit that he is now, that he improved upon his shittiness through the decade to the point where he was a Sandy Hook truther and lied and claimed that there were no kids killed at Sandy Hook. And as you surely know, he has been sued, and today begins true judgment day to get out from underneath, trying to not get broke financially by he's already declared bankruptcy twice.
Jesus.
Twice to try to get away from this. The parents are saying now they're going to ask for about $100 million in damages.
Good.
Because remember what he did. He spoke to his people out there, the idiots that watch him, and named all the parents, named the kids, and these parents got harassed and attacked and threatened for lying about the deaths of their children.
He went into excruciating detail with videos showing those kids who allegedly died, he said, in December at that time. And then they showed Obama coming to visit Sandy Hook, to Newtown, Connecticut, after that. And he said there were some of the same children that supposedly died in December that were with Obama. He would do things like that to show you, because obviously if you're orchestrating something like that, like Obama did, what you want to do is to make sure that you have the possibility of the same crisis actors in the same scenes. That's what he would do. I mean, it was you can't imagine anything more hurtful than what this guy did. And no one has any mercy. Although the story is coming up now, he has some medical issues, Brad. His doctors that may preempt him from attending the trial.
Yes, previously, Alex Jones attempted to use bankruptcy protections to protect his assets. Oh, and I guess I need to be updated myself here, because I thought that was still in play. Those attempts were knocked down when a federal judge said, And that's why the lawsuit continued, and that's why we're at the point we are today. So I guess I was wrong in thinking that I knew what I knew, which apparently I didn't know that. And so you have defamation cases in Texas and Connecticut. And now it's just a question of how much he's going to have to pay. Now, Alex Jones, how much will you pay, as we like to say in late night TV? According to one of the two attorneys representing the families in Texas, and this is supposed to be about a two-week trial. We're very glad the day is here. We're looking forward to telling our client's story. And Alex Jones, as you mentioned, having medical issues. Yes, he's sick to his stomach over the idea that he's going to be fucking made a broke, poor piece of shit who's going to be living back under a bridge,
right,
selling his fake medical supplements and muscle-building shit off of a cardboard table under I-35 in Dallas. It's very possible he could have done to him, and rightfully so by the justice system, what was done years ago to, I believe it was the United Klans of America, right? Out there when they were taking apart the Ku Klux Klan, in some of those cases. Because this is it. You don't come, if you get a gigantic judgment like this,
you're sunk.
And you're sunk. There's no insurance that's going to pay it. There's nothing. There's nothing to be done. And
plus your legal bills, the legal bills you're racking up are killing you too.
That's on the front end. This on the back end. And believe me, there ain't going to be a GoFundMe page big enough to pay that one off. It's not going to work that way. Let's see one more. Oh, the Pelosi files. Let's do the Pelosi files.
All right, quickly we can do that.
This is a twofer. It's Nancy Pelosi and her husband, Paul Pelosi, recovering from the car accident he was recently in. If this isn't the all-time reddest flag to ever go up in the history of the world, I don't know what is, but here you go. Headline, more Republicans back Nancy Pelosi on Taiwan trip. That's right. Nancy Pelosi says she wants to visit Taiwan, our good friends. They're the non-communist Chinese on that island, Taiwan. And it's a very successful, capitalistic, largely free society. They do all the right things. And what's happened here is Democrats said, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? Because the Chinese on the big China part of China are saying, if she fucking comes over here, we're going to march into that island and take it over. Fuck you. We want that. Don't fuck with us. Don't fuck with us. So the Republicans are saying, go, Nancy, go. Go, Nancy, go. And the Democrats are saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold it up here. When Newt Gingrich is your number one cheerleader,
yeah,
Nancy Pelosi,
right,
you might want to rethink what you're doing. I'm not saying cave in to the Chinese here and just don't go. But kind of reconsider how this is being done, how it's being fashioned. If it's a place, for instance, this is off of the top of my head. I'm not reading this anyway. If it's a place that Joe Biden would never, ever, ever go to, no American president has ever gone to Taiwan. Never. It hasn't happened. Remember, Nixon didn't go to Taiwan. He went to Beijing.
Because that would piss off the Chinese.
So the Republicans want her to do this. The Republicans think, well, if she goes there, then the Chinese will cause all kinds of problems, and then we'll blame Biden for that, and that'll help us in the midterm election. I mean, what do they think? What are they thinking that the short-term value of this is? All right, I just don't get it.
Well, bad news for America is good news for Republicans. I mean, that's all that is, right?
All right. Well, we'll watch that story because that one's that's got a lot of intrigue running in all different directions. It's kind of worth paying attention to. And one more, we have Nancy Pelosi's husband, who looks like he may be in trouble here for insider trading.
Oh,
and, by association, you know, Nancy Pelosi also. Paul Pelosi, in the year 2020, beat the. Remember, 2020 was not what you call a great year. Okay, it was the most turbulent year you can imagine. Remember, that was right in March when the market went straight down. When COVID exploded, right, and it came back up fairly quickly. But it was a messy year.
It was.
At the end of the year, at the end of 2020, Pelosi's husband had beaten the market, as measured by the S&P 500, by 14%. Okay. Nobody beats the market by 14% in a normal, it's just a normal person. Okay. I mean, there's always somebody out there that's doing, but anyway, substantially perform. All right. And according to an analysis by the New York Post, which of course is a very trustworthy outfit, the Pelosi's have made about $30 million from trades involving big tech companies that Nancy Pelosi is responsible for regulating. Now, that language to me is a bit stretchy, okay? Mm. Because Nancy Pelosi doesn't regulate tech companies. Nancy Pelosi doesn't pass laws. She just doesn't do that. So that's kind of a stretch right there. Would you not agree?
I agree. That's some wiggle language.
Okay. And here's another one that they're trying to point to right now. In June, and I know where this stock is because I own a little bit of it. Not this much, believe me. In June, Pelosi bought 5 million in options, which is equal to about 20,000 shares of NVIDIA. You know, the big semiconductor giant, the biggest one. If you have a computer and you look at the thing that says what your computer's, it'll say NVIDIA in there. It's everywhere. And they're trying to make the point that he made a ton of money based on inside information that they were about to try to pass this legislation that you're hearing about, that Joe Biden is talking about, that very well could pass to grant the semiconductor industry all this money to help them out to build plants here in the United States to build semiconductors, $52 billion, including the giant plant that Intel wants to build outside of Columbus, Ohio, which they're saying if this bill doesn't pass, the plant we're going to build is going to be a lot smaller, a lot fewer people to be hired. But so the charge here is that Pelosi, the husband, Paul, knew ahead of time that this legislation was about to be passed, about to be voted on. And he exercised 200 call options on NVIDIA. The day that he did that, the stock closed at 158. And about 5 weeks later, it was at 173.19. And you know what that means? Fucking nothing. All right. NVIDIA was up in the 300s. All right. It's gone into the shitter with every other semiconductor stock. I know that because I have NVIDIA stock that went into the shitter. Okay. And it got down into the low 150, maybe the high 140s. So at 158. And on Friday, July 22nd, it was at 173. Just in the last 2 days, right? Okay, that was Friday, July 22nd. We're on the 25th today.
26.
It's already back down, probably another 10. That's bullshit. It's just bullshit. Okay, he didn't know anything. Everybody knew that this legislation was out. That wasn't inside information.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't inside information. And Nancy Pelosi doesn't have inside information on whether the Senate is going to pass. She doesn't know. So that's kind of a bullshit line too. Okay. The issue to me is broader than that. It isn't specific. They're going after Pelosi because she's Nancy Pelosi.
Exactly.
But they shouldn't be able, and nobody in the family of anybody that's in Congress should be able to be trading individual stocks. They just shouldn't be able to do it. At best, they should be allowed to own broad index funds.
I agree with that. I think what would be wrong with that? I think that's a great rule.
And even that is questionable because you can do market timing.
If you're inside information of
remarkable amounts.
Yeah, but if it's the
of the market, but
if it's the S&P index, if it's something like that, you know, sure.
But I mean, to me, that's the issue. But we know what this is. This is a setup. This is a setup for after November, because if the Republicans take the House, you can just see that they'll hold hearings on this.
Yeah, this will be the worst.
They'll hold hearings.
This will be Benghazi too.
Yeah, Benghazi. By the way, as if Republicans, and this is definitely and I usually hate to hear this from anybody else, but in this case, it is true. This is they all do it. They really all do it.
Well, it's and, not that they know, all
we
do.
We have the biggest fucking guy in our state, Richard fucking Burr, who's going to get away with it. Okay.
The Republicans actually are much, much worse at it. I mean, and much better at it, but much more egregious at it, I guess would be how I would put that.